I'm joined on the phone today with Dr. John Aninas from Sanford Health right here in Bemidji. Now, you are an OBGYN, and we are going to be talking about Women's Health Month. Quickly, what is the number one health concern for women?
I think the number one health concerns that I have for women across the board, for everyone, is we are too busy. We always put everybody else's needs ahead of our own, whether that's our children, whether that's our jobs, whether that's our partners, our family. We are there for every single other person in our life and what their needs are at that moment in time. And the person who we are always willing to break our commitments to whenever something else is needed is ourselves. And self-care is never selfish. We need to be able to take care of ourselves. So I think that is one of the biggest factors that I see impacting my patient's health overall, is not feeling empowered and able to put their own needs first.
Right. And, you know, as women, we have to do some pretty routine OBGYN related things, like what comes immediately to mind is a pap smear. Now, how often should women get those, actually?
So for well woman care, we do recommend that women be seen either by their primary care provider or OBGYN once a year for a well woman exam. Now, some providers in family medicine and internal medicine will also do well woman care, which includes things like breast exams and pap smears, pelvic exams. Others don't. OBGYNs can definitely focus on the gynecologic care. Some do less of the primary care. So it's making sure that whoever your provider is, whoever is on your care team, is meeting your whole woman care. So once a year, we recommend a visit. In terms of cervical cancer screenings with pap smears, we start those at age 21. And then depending on risk factors and history, that is repeated every 3 to 5 years.
All right. So now when we say care team at Sanford, so I have an OBGYN who helped deliver my baby. Do I need more doctors than that?
Well, I think that depends on your provider, so and also your medical history. So, for instance, if I have someone who is young and healthy and really their only concerns are related to their menstrual cycle, contraception, just making sure they're up to date on their screening, but that's well within the scope of most OBGYN practice. Some are comfortable with some other chronic medical conditions like hypertension, maybe diabetes. But if you're someone who's got some significant medical complications, who is on multiple medications to control hypertension, that might be something that's a little bit more appropriate for someone in family medicine or internal medicine. And then again, each provider has their own set of personal interests and areas where they end up specializing. And so that ends up kind of determining how each provider kind of sculpts their own practice that's unique to them.
Right. And so, you know, as busy working moms, how long do would like a quick pap smear take, would you say?
Generally, for a well woman visit, it's probably 20 minutes. So it's 20 minutes to get you up to date on all of your screenings and health maintenance, make sure that everything is going okay. Sometimes that visit can be longer if someone has additional concerns in addition to just the well-woman care things that we routinely do to take care of people.
All right. Yeah, I've spent longer than 20 minutes in like a drive-thru before, so.
Yeah.
All right. And well, why don't we talk about, you know, over this past year with the COVID-19 pandemic, I imagine many other women, and I hope I'm not alone in this, that, you know, there's been a lot of stress over the past year with worrying about our kids in school and stuff. Do you have any advice for women who might be seeking some mental health care in response to this?
I think the most important thing when it comes to physical health and mental health is to speak up and bring it up. I think it's getting better. We're seeing less stigma surrounding mental health, and we're finding out that it's more and more common. And There's more and more avenues to treat those conditions. But I think the most important thing is, you know, if you're struggling emotionally, if you feel like you're irritable all the time, if you're feeling like you've let yourself or your family down somehow and you're struggling with that, we want you to bring that up. We want to get you connected with resources and help if that's what you need. Women are the leaders of the families. They're the caretakers of everyone around them. And when we are suffering and putting everyone else's needs first, eventually we're going to get to a point where we can't keep being in that caretaker role. And people depend on us. So we have to be able to take care of ourselves. It's like being on an airplane and there being an emergency. You need to put on your own oxygen mask before you lean over and help the person next to you.
All right. And some of the perks of the COVID-19 pandemic thing was the expanse of video, like teleconference sort of like visits.
Video visits.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine there are some things that simply cannot be done over the e-visits, but what sort of things can be accomplished through those?
Again, it's going to be at the discretion of the provider, but I'm finding that virtual visits really lend themselves well to a lot of different issues. Anything where the goal would be primarily talking things over with your provider and there's not an urgent need for a detailed physical exam really lend themselves well to virtual visits. So we've found ways to make that work with OB care, which has been very, very helpful for some of our patients who live up on the northern borders near International Falls and Baudette, so they can get care without having to come to Bemidji every single week. We have had patients call for follow-up to discuss test results and finalize plans for next steps in management. We've used it to check in on conditions like mental health issues, depression, postpartum depression, perinatal anxiety, all of those things. So it really provides a nice face-to-face connection with the provider. It feels very personable and it doesn't feel as distant as you would expect a virtual visit to feel. It feels more like a real connection, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we're such a connected society now. My children can't even look at my cell phone, and I can be on a call, and they're like, I want to see her, because they assume it's a video visit, it's a FaceTime, and that's just the world that we live in. We're so connected that way that it feels almost natural.
All right. I just had a couple more questions about cancer screenings before I let you go today.
Yes.
One of my predecessors here in the news director post, Kelly Stone, passed away due to ovarian cancer several years ago. And I was just wondering, like, is there any advancement on detecting that cancer?
Ovarian cancer is still an enigma in our field because there are certain hereditary factors that we recognize. For instance, first-degree family members who've had breast, ovarian, or colon cancer. So for those people, we are doing more genetic screening, and that testing is available through Sanford's genetic counselor. She does an initial consult and finds out, you know, what the family history is, and based on the family history, who qualifies for that genetic testing to see if there is an increased risk. And once we know if there's a genetic mutation, that determines what does your risk reduction strategies look like. Is it earlier and more frequent screening? Is it changing the mode of screening? Is it surgery for prevention? Which direction do we go? Beyond that, for screening the average risk woman for ovarian cancer, it really hasn't changed a whole lot. One of the best ways that women can protect themselves against ovarian cancer is making sure that they come to their annual well woman exam, that they're getting regular pelvic exams with that well woman exam, just to make sure that there's no changes. Common symptoms for ovarian cancer include some bloating or feeling like your belly is getting bigger, your waist and your pants is getting tighter, but also losing weight. Early satiety or feeling like you're getting full more than you normally would. can all be signs that there could be something going on. A lot of times those symptoms can evolve over a few days to a few weeks as well, so it seems to rapidly change. The risk of getting ovarian cancer overall for women is 1 in 70 women will get ovarian cancer. However, breast cancer affects 1 in 8 women. So for screening for breast cancer, we do recommend mammograms starting at age 40, and those begin every 1 to 2 years. And that also depends on your family history. And then at age 50, it's recommended for all women annually. And then colorectal cancer screenings beginning at age 50 are also very important for women as well.
That was something you typically associate with the guys, though.
I know, but women are affected too. And nice thing about colonoscopy is if you're going to have to do it, at least it's diagnosis and it's treatment, because there can be precancerous polyps or concerning lesions that can then be identified, treated, and removed. So it's kind of a one-stop shop, and hopefully you only have to do it once every 10 years. But the leading cause of death for women remains heart disease. So making sure that women are moving their bodies in a way that suits them, whether it's a vigorous exercise class, whether it's strength training, whether it's just gardening in the backyard, playing with your kids, but just getting up and moving around, eating a healthy diet that includes vegetables and fruits and lean proteins, getting adequate sleep, and just taking good care of ourselves. It's critical.
Okay, so caffeine is not a replacement for sleep.
Caffeine is never a replacement, replacement for sleep. Nothing replaces sleep. Sleep is core to our well-being. You have to get adequate sleep. It's important for your physical health. It's important for your mental health. It's important for your performance at work, with your family, on the job. Sleep is critical.
All right. I will do my best, Dr. Ninus. All right. Well, is there anything else about women's health that you wanted to be sure we mentioned before we wrap it up today?
I don't think so.
I think we covered all the bases.
I think we have. I would just like to empower every woman, you know, reading this article or listening, however this is going to come out, to take the opportunity to put themselves first and to take care of themselves, because our children, our daughters are watching how we treat ourselves, and that's how they will treat themselves. And we need to set a better example for how to care for yourself and love yourself.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today, Dr. Ninus. Hope we can visit again
soon. You are welcome. Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.